Barbara Ann Kemmel had known about Hubbard House and knew what danger she was really in. Hubbard House would have gave her a place to live and stay and protect her.
If you're a native of Jacksonville or have lived here long enough, then you know that voice. That is former Jacksonville Mayor Jake Gobbold on the legacy of his sister-in-law, Barbara Ann Campbell. This morning, Christine, we are at the Prime Osborne Convention Center with our partners in the community, the Hubbard House, for the 30th annual Barbara Ann Campbell Memorial Breakfast presented by Vistar Credit Union. This is all about the community coming together in a multitude of ways and with a lot of different emotions, because we are honoring the victims of domestic violence, and yet we're celebrating the strength of survivors.
Right.
And so I kind of have mixed emotions walking in this morning.
It is. A flood of emotions hit me when I entered the room, the breakfast room, and just the purple glow in there just kind of set the stage in my brain. So you're right. This is a celebration, and it's also a memorial.
And in so many ways, the voice around it and the name around it, Barbara Ann Campbell, will reverberate here despite her loss because of the way that her legacy lives going forward. And one of the many people with the Hubbard House who organize this breakfast every year is a good friend of ours here at WOKV Radio. Stephanie Brown, who used to work at WOKV back in the day, is now the Director of Community Education for the Hubbard House. Thank you for having us here today.
Oh, we're so grateful to have you here. Every chance we get to talk not only about our mission and our cause, but to mention our hotline so that anyone who's listening knows that help is available. It's such a valuable opportunity. And
what's
since I said
number?
It, it's 904-354-3114. And it is 24/7 free and confidential.
When we walk through the doors of the Prime Osborne Convention Center for the breakfast, two things strike me. One is the two tables that are set, very long tables. What are those designed to be?
So every year, the breakfast wants to recognize the local lives lost by domestic violence in our community. And so normally we do set a table for the victims of last year, the people who were killed by abusers. Because this is the 30th annual breakfast, we have set a table not just for the victims of last year, but those of the last 30 years. So we actually have our memorial tables set to honor 215 people. And at each place we have their story. Because it is so important that people understand domestic violence is serious. It can be deadly. We want the community to understand that so they know that what their support means for Hubbard House and our ability to provide life-changing, life-saving services. But we also want survivors to know that, because if they resonate with any part of the stories that they see, we want them to know that help is available.
The fact that you have the memorial table next to the art wall, which I don't know if that's what we're calling it, where people can give their stories. So you're celebrating the lives of those who you've saved as well.
And so, yeah, we created, we're calling it an impact exhibit, but it's basically three panels, so a total of 32 feet long, of an art display that includes dandelions and florets floating in the breeze, a big sun, and the quotes of survivors who have been helped by Hubbard House. There is a floret to honor each of the 151,000 plus people that Hubbard House has helped in those same 30 years. And we felt it was so important because it is jarring and it is overwhelming to see the lives that have been lost, but there is hope. And so many people have found safety as well. And so we want that audience and everyone who's with us to make sure that they can see that hope too.
On the memorial wall, I didn't understand that you personally had researched all of their stories.
Yeah. So I'm a member of the Domestic Violence Fatality Review Team. We actually meet as a community every single year and study the fatalities from last year, because it's not enough just to honor their stories. We have to look at how we can change things. We have to look at how our society can do things differently. And so as part of that committee, we're involved in seeing what are the trends, what can we do? And one of the big messages coming out of last year, their cases that I do want to encourage people to consider is injunctions for protection, because out of the fatalities last year, so many had a documented history of domestic violence, and yet none had a petition for injunction. And so it is certainly not the only tool a survivor should consider, but absolutely one that we want survivors to be thinking about as part of how they plan for their safety.
Did you explore deeper into the why they did not have the injunction? Are there various reasons for it?
There can be so many reasons that survivors don't come forward for support for all different kinds of supportive services. The abuser convinces them that they are at fault. They convince them that if they could only do better, the abuse would stop. And when you think about that through the lens of the survivor, that means reaching out for help means admitting your failure. Even though we again know it's not their failure, it is something that the abuser has convinced them to believe. And it's also the reality of their safety. Because if the abuser thinks that the survivor is preparing to leave the relationship, that is one of the most dangerous times. Because unfortunately, so many abusers have that perspective of, if I can't have you, nobody can. And so getting an injunction is a step in that process. What if the survivor has left before, but the abuser found them? You know, do they really feel like they can ever be safe? And so that's why opportunities like this let us tell that survivor that we want to help them plan for their safety, that we know the different resources, supports, and even shelter that we can provide. And so it's so important that they just think about reaching out to that hotline at 904-354-3114.
Is it that a lot of people, too, think that those kind of injunctions don't necessarily help in some cases? Because sometimes the risk of getting an injunction involves confronting the person. And for many, it's not, they don't think it's necessarily worth the risk.
And that's one of the things we safety plan for. When an abuser is served an injunction for protection, we work with the survivor to help them understand, you know, can you do this at a time that you're not present? Do you need police to help you if you're packing up some items and things like that? Because the danger is there. The unfortunate reality is that for some survivors, the danger is always there. And so there are so many different resources and tools that are available, but it does take the courage and strength of that survivor to say that they know this isn't going to end. They know that the end could be their own death. And so that's why, despite those fears, we hope that they'll talk to us so we can help them plan for their safety and then take those steps.
I'd like to say that I think I don't know a survivor, but I think the chances are greater that I probably do, and I'm not even aware of it. Is that generally what you hear and what you've understood?
Absolutely. So on the national scale, about 1 in 3 women experience some form of physical violence by an intimate partner in their lifetime. And we know that locally, there is in around 8,000 cases of domestic violence just reported to police each year, not even acknowledging those that are not reported. And you did hear me say, obviously, that gendered language talking about the number of women affected. But Hubbard House serves all survivors, including male survivors. You know, the numbers are harder because there's so much stigma that a male survivor faces. They worry about judgment, they worry about shame. So it's harder to really comprehend what those numbers are, but we do know that they are there. So if you're sitting in a room, you know, when you go into work later today, or you take a night class or something like that, you look around the room, and the likelihood is about 1/3 of the people in that room have either in their past or in their present been affected by domestic violence.
It's interesting, too, because you go sometimes, well, you know, if somebody is suffering from something, just leave. But even in the hurricane, people don't want to evacuate their homes for a week. So can you imagine having to uproot your whole family, and part of your family is then broken after you leave, and how difficult that is to leave as well?
And it's not, you know, just that emotional tie, because that's one of the hardest things for the community to understand is the emotional investment. You know, I encourage people to think, you know, the last time you walked away from something, could you do that before you had truly tried everything that you felt you could try? And so imagine someone standing beside you, manipulating you and saying, I will change this time. We will work on it. Things will be better. So it's hard to not acknowledge and give that added effort. But in addition to that, what you don't have in that last effort that you walked away from is that same person also saying, and what do you think's going to happen if you do leave me? Mm. You know, the reality of that threat to their safety and the threat to their loved ones. What if you have someone who wants to help you escape, but the abuser knows where that person lives? You know, then it's not just their safety that survivor is holding. But as scary as it is, again, we are here because those lives are at stake. And so it is scary, but it is not hopeless. That's where our advocates come in to provide that support, to safety plan not only with the survivor, but those in their circle, and let the survivor know that we believe them and we do support them. And so that number again is 904-354-3114.
And there's also a text line, which is also 904-210-3698. These resources are available to you in Duval and Baker County and throughout Northeast Florida. There are other organizations. Hubbard House is the main in Jacksonville and Baker County, but Betty Griffin Center and some of the others that you partner with, they are part of the overall swarming survivors with support in our community.
Absolutely. So for your listeners in St. John's County, there is the Betty Griffin Center. The listeners in Clay County, we have Quigley House. And for Nassau County, there's Micah's Place. So those are all the services, the support, the approach that we take here at Hubbard House. That is the same that you are going to get from those other organizations. It truly does take not only our community, but society, yeah, right, to be able to create that safety. So they're important partners.
Today is the 30th annual Barbara Ann Campbell Memorial Breakfast presented by Vistar Credit Union. And today is a day to, in some ways, celebrate the impact that the Hubbard House has while also honoring the victims. On the 16th of October at 6:23, today is also a day to say happy belated birthday, Stephanie Brown. I won't sing to you.
Well, I said
I would on the radio, but I'm not going to.
I do appreciate it. Instead, you can encourage people to send a birthday gift. And what that means is making a donation to Hubbard House, because that sounds like a great way to honor my birthday.
How can we do that,
well,
Stephanie?
So the reality is a cost of a night of shelter and services is $75.
Oh, we can do that.
And we shelter about 116 people every single night.
Wow.
And so if you go on our website, hubbardhouse.org/donate-now, or you just go to hubbardhouse.org and navigate through a few pages, we're going to have the opportunity for you to make that donation of any amount that you're comfortable with. And it truly is, you know, even $5-$10, that still supports the food that we need in shelter 24 hours. It contributes toward the staffing needs of that 24-hour hotline. So if you put a note in there that says happy birthday, I will send you an email as well thanking you for your support.
Well, congratulations on incredible work with the breakfast this morning, and we're going to be spotlighting survivors and the organization and the reach of the Hubbard House throughout Jacksonville's morning news. WOKV News Time, 6:24.